A couple of things before we get into the message. We laid to rest in the Gooch Cemetery, Rosemary Kruckmeyer, and that was yesterday. And I just want to let you know that your comfort and joy team of the church did an awesome, awesome job of offering hospitality to grieving family afterwards. Served a wonderful meal, and there was plenty of it, and it was hot on a cold day. So thank you, Diana Dale and Joyce Durst and company, who were part of that team. The second retreat that I was a part of was just an overnight fellowship retreat. One of your former pastors, Jim McClain, was there. Pastor George Lumpkin from First United Methodist Church in Fredericksburg was there. Former District Superintendent Larry Altman was there. Several other pastors were there. And it was good to be in fellowship, right? To pray with one another and to laugh and to lift up our frustrations with the transitions of church that will be taking place in May 2020 this year. And so it was good to discern with other faithful servants of the Lord as we talked about life and ministry and the future of the church and our commitment to stay with the church through it all. So I celebrate that and give God thanks for that. All right. You ever gone to a room, and asked yourself, what am I looking for? You ever had that experience? I hear it's rough. You know, we're always looking for something. Our homework, our cell phone charger, the car keys, ingredients for a recipe. We're looking for those things, right? And we forget. You know, we're always, always looking for something. We are also a destination-obsessed culture, all right, which goes in the category of looking for something. We're a destination-obsessed culture. When I moved to Mason, I got in touch with an old tradition that my parents had. And that old tradition was a Sunday afternoon drive. You remember those? A Sunday afternoon drive. Oh my gosh, there's so many beautiful, wonderful Sunday afternoon drives in Mason. But nowadays, when we get behind the wheel of a vehicle, our trucks, our cars, whatever, we gotta be going somewhere. To some appointment, to do something for ourselves or for someone else. It's like we just can't go for the purpose of just going. Our culture is desperately looking for something. There's a quest that we have for something that will give some kind of meaning to our life. We want something to give us meaning and purpose to our family life, our personal relationships, our work life, our church life, our purpose in life as an American, our purpose in life as a Texan, our purpose in life as one who lives in Mason. So because of this, we have all the self-help books to help us find out what our special purpose is. The late 1800s and late 1880s and early 1980s and early 1990s, forgive me, there was the great immersion of self-help books. And in my library is a whole section on the dummy books, right? Accounting for dummies, astronomy for dummies, Spanish for dummies, right? right? All these books for dummies because I'm a dummy. I don't know everything, right? And so here are all these wonderful books that help me to try to figure things out, right? Help me try to figure things out. In the mid-1990s, you could go to a Barnes & Noble bookstore, for example, and there were maybe a couple of bookcases of self-help books. But nowadays, when you go to a bookstore or you just Google up on Amazon self-help books, there comes a huge, huge, huge list of books related to any subject related to the things that you want to know. Spirituality was one of the subjects that came under the self-help section. It became a huge consumer item. Now, those consumer spirituality, consumer books, self-help books are important. It's good to be able to read books from sages, from people who know quite a bit of information that we want to access, that would educate us and inform us on how to think of things differently and how to think of things more aware. Out of that period of time, we, in wanting additional purpose and meaning to our life, there came a renewed interest in angels, right? A renewed interest in angels. It became angel books, pillows, towels, angel statues, jewelry, stationery, calendars. My Uncle Fred, who now rests in peace, what a wonderful disciple of Jesus. I really believe that. He lived in El Paso. But my Uncle Fred had a special parking lot angel. He was convinced. He was convinced that every time he drove to a store, a shopping mall, a Walmart, he had a special parking lot angel that was working overtime for him. And I couldn't convince him otherwise, that he was probably busy doing something else. But no, it was amazing to him that every time he called upon his angel, there appeared out of nowhere a parking spot right up front for him to use. There it was. The New Age movement got into the deal, right? The New Age movement also capitalized on the opportunity. They produced crystals, pyramids, animal spirit guides, herbal potions, dream shapers, dream catchers. Oh, yeah. How that works, I don't know. But the dream catchers that all promise that spiritual spark that we all desire. Got to have something. Something to give us special purpose. Something to give us meaning to the ordinariness of our lives. There was that kind of spirituality that came out of that period that still lingers to a degree, that was kind of sticky, sweet, topping spirituality, but it lacked so much for the deep power that helps us to usher in the reign of God through acts of forgiveness, grace, and mercy in our life. This morning's scripture reading that Leslie read for us, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So some of John the Baptist's disciples began to follow Jesus. And they were startled by Jesus' question, the directness of that question when he asked, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" Jesus didn't give a nice, sweet parable, right? No gentle discipling like, "Take my yoke upon you, for my ways are gentle and my burden is light," right? It was more of an interrogation question than anything else. What are you looking for? What do you want? As Jesus' reputation spread, there were crowds of people with various diseases and ailments who followed him. They were looking for healing. As his popularity spread, the religious authorities of the day began to question his theology and interpretation of Scripture because Jesus touched the leper associated with a tax collector, the prostitute, and people on the periphery of life. He healed a Roman centurion's servant, healed on the Sabbath. Oh my gosh, how dare you do that, Jesus? And said things like, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." These religious authorities, the religious elite of the day, were searching for truth. They were searching for light. The miracles increased, and the crowds followed Jesus. They weren't following Jesus for the teaching, for the discipleship. They were looking for entertainment. And there were those who wanted to follow Jesus because Jesus promised everlasting life. So they were following Jesus, trying to glean a way to ensure a sure path to heaven. Throughout the Scriptures, we read where Jesus went by himself to pray, went alone to pray. In just about every situation, his disciples went looking for him and interrupted his prayer time by saying, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." And they're right. Everyone's looking for Jesus in some form or another. Everyone is looking for Jesus to give that special meaning, that special spark. Even if they don't realize it, everybody is looking for Jesus. Religious jewelry, books by the latest writers, simple bumper sticker sayings, the president, the protocols to the left, the protocols to the right, and the middle, and social media just won't fill the void, just won't cut it. The answer to Jesus' soul-searching question, "What are you looking for?" is a pretty good start for all of us. My friends, everyone here has a hole in their heart. Everyone here has a hole in their heart. And that hole can become restless and needy, wanting to fill it with anything that will alleviate the pain or the stress. Anything. St. Augustine says, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest with thee." And that is so true. There's so much out there that we can try to attempt to fill that hole in our heart with. But the place that we really need to begin with is Jesus. I want to get a little bit more personal this morning. What are you looking for in a church? Good choir? Accompanist? Solid youth ministry? Active children's ministry? Pretty sanctuary. Solid worship, missions, and outreach. A church that aligns more with your understanding of being conservative and traditionalist, or liberal and progressive, or those in the middle. What are you looking for in a church? What are you looking for in a pastor? What are you looking that is good with youth and children and senior citizens and young families? One that can preach and teach pretty good? One that keeps good office hours but yet is out in the community as well? One that is young but wise? The strength of an eagle and the vigilance of an owl? What are you looking for in a pastor? What are you looking for in a church? One night, a couple of weeks ago, my son, Peter, and I were outside looking at the night sky in Mason, Texas. Oh, we got such beautiful night sky. It's just gorgeous. Just so beautiful. And my son, Peter, reminded me of a time when 8 years ago, I took he and his brother to Fort Davis, Texas, to McDonald's Observatory. If you haven't gone there recently and you say, oh, I was there 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you need to go. You need to go again. It's really, really cool. Super, super fun. And we attended a tour. The three of us with a group of people, and we attended a tour throughout a certain section of the observatory there at Fort Davis, McDonald's Observatory, and we went into this room where the astronomer showed us a telescope that weighed several tons. It's just amazing to me. You had to move it mechanically with remote control. It was a motor that rotated it to your desired location. And so he invited Peter to be the person to rotate that telescope, of which he was, you know, that was 8 years ago. He was 11 years old, and he was so happy to be able to do that, right? He was so happy to do that. So what happened was the astronomer said that going up to the mountains to look at the stars doesn't help any more than standing on a piece of paper to look up to the stars. That the purpose for going up to the mountains is to remove ourselves from all the light pollution and the air pollution to look at the stars more clearly. Friends, there's a lot of pollution out there. There's a lot of distractions from the truth. There's a lot of counterfeit messiahs. There's a lot out there that'll keep us from seeing the true light of God in Jesus Christ. So where do we begin? We begin by setting some time alone every day. Setting some time alone every day. And I know that all of us have a lot of good reasons as to why we don't have time to do that. But the truth is that in order for us to be able to truly navigate our life and find special purpose and meaning to our lives, we need to clear ourselves from the pollution that we've been exposed to. And to follow Jesus. To listen to His Word. To invite the Holy Spirit of God to come into our hearts and to cleanse them, that we may truly become His disciples. What are you looking for? We are all looking for Jesus. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.